أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله تعالى على رسوله سيدنا محمد سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. عن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتعوذ دبر الصلوات بهؤلاء الكلمات: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، وأعوذ بك من أن أرد إلى أرض العمر، وأعوذ بك من فتنة الدنيا، وأعوذ بك من فتنة القبر. رواه البخاري. وعن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ بيده وقال: يا معاذ، والله إني لأحبك. فقال: أوصيك يا معاذ ألا تدعن في دبر كل صلاة تقول: اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. رواه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح. So the first narration is from Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the end of every prayer would seek refuge using these words: O Allah, indeed I seek refuge with you from cowardice and from miserliness, and I seek refuge with you that I should be returned to a decrepit age, that I should become so old that I become helpless like a child. That's where the Radda Yeruddu comes from, that I should return back to that condition of helplessness. And I seek refuge in you from the torment of this world, and I seek refuge in you from the torment of the grave. Here fitna is in its asli meaning. The haqiqi meaning of fitna, the literal meaning of fitna is torment. And then the majazi meaning, the metaphorical meaning, is that test that you're going to fail, or that there's a great chance you'll fail in, which is going to result in torment. And so this is one of the things for those who read the Risalat Ibn Abi Zayd, which maybe only you. Ibn Abi Zayd, they nicknamed him Malik al-Saghir, all three of you, I guess. Malik al-Saghir, because of his jam' between the mastery of fiqh and the mastery of hadith. And so his Risala is a very unique work and a very special work. It's one of the first of the compendia of fiqh that were written and spread far and wide in the Ummah. It's one of its commentaries was written by Qadi Abdul Wahhab in Baghdad, so it spread far and wide to Andalus, to Morocco, etc. And the copy sitting right here with the Riyadh al-Salihin. If a person wants to know, what it is that I spend my life and wish to spend my life on, it's these two things that are right next to each other. And so the book is a unique book. Why? Because he writes it as a guide of how a person can follow the sunnah. Obviously, the haykal of the fiqh is according to the madhab of Malik, because you have to have things be internally consistent. But one of the interesting things that he does, not only tells the lafz of the tashahud, which many fiqh books will not, but he also includes a set of du'as that a person is supposed to say at the, after the tashahud and after the salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I know many people. I've met people. I met a man, a very intelligent man. His Arabic is so good that he can make verse in extempore. And I've seen it before, that he'll sit in there like imams and mashayikh that will sit and like listen to him do this, and they're impressed by it. And however, he said to me, I wasted my life reading fiqh. I should have just read Bukhari. And I said, I read both of them, although maybe not to the degree that you are talking about. And I feel like you're right. You did waste your life reading whatever you read to say something like that. At any rate, with all love and respect for people, and i'tiraf, admitting what their virtues are and accepting them. Coming back to the issue, there are a lot of people who read these books as children. And then they say, oh, this is just like khurafat that like our forefathers taught us. Whereas really, if you want to open the books of hadith, all of those things, they're all there. They're all there. You'll find them in one place or another. And it takes someone like Nawawi or someone like, Khatib, Waliuddin Tabrizi in the Mishkat al-Masabih to make it even something that would be something you can have in one volume, rather than having to research several very long books. So one of the things he has is something similar to this in wording. He says that that he used to seek refuge at the end of his prayer, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from cowardice and from miserliness. Miserliness being a type of cowardice that has to do with how you spend your money, and he sought refuge in Allah Ta'ala that he should return to the most decrepit of ages, meaning return to the state of helplessness like a child, and that from the punishment of this world and the punishment of the grave. And Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates another hadith. This is a very beautiful hadith, and it's interesting for a reason that I'll mention as well after translating its contents. Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him by the hand and said, "O Mu'adh, indeed I love you, like I have love for you." He says, "And I give you this wasiyah, I give you this bequest. O Mu'adh, don't ever leave after every salat that you pray at the end of it. Don't ever leave saying, O Allah, aid me upon your dhikr, your praise and your remembrance, and upon your shukr, upon thankfulness to you, and upon husni ibadatik, upon worshipping you in a beautiful way, in a way that's colored in ihsan." So this hadith is interesting for a number of reasons, one of which is that this is from the Musalsalat. You familiar with Musalsalat? You familiar with them? So Musalsalat are the hadith that are transmitted with some sort of descriptor or adjective or action that is above the actual words, the matan of the hadith. So there are Musalsalat, that these are the hadith that every narrator of it is from the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the Musalsalat, every narrator of it is a woman. These are the Musalsalat that, so this Musalsal is what? It's transmitted with the unbroken chain from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with every narrator, when they narrated it to the next person, they say, "I also love you, so, and I also give you this bequest, that after you're done with your salat, never ignore saying, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik." It's one of the, actually many of the Musalsalat, I would say that if you were to compile a collection of them, if the collection is more than like 10 or 15, most of the Musalsalat are probably da'if. This is one of the ones that it's actually well transmitted. That both the matan of the hadith is sahih, and the tasalsul that goes with it is also sahih. So, like I heard from my sheikh, Ustaji Mawlana Hassan, and he heard through his sheikh in the sanad that goes through Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahimahullah ta'ala, and goes through Shah Waliullah to the different narrators, that goes through to Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that I also love you, all of you who are gathered here today. Indeed, I love all of you, and I give you this bequest and this wasiyah that you never omit or leave out after every single one of your prayers to say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, aid me in your remembrance and in your thankfulness and in worshipping you in a beautiful way, in a way that's imbued with ihsan. And this is also what, because the thing is that dua, like Hazrat Tanvi said, and like undoubtedly the mashayikh from before him said, he was asked, like, why is it that, why do we have to make dua? Allah already knows what we need. He said, the point is not to inform Allah of your needs. The point of the dua is not to inform Allah Ta'ala of your needs, but it is to show and manifest your slavehood to Allah Ta'ala. And so the person who asks Allah Ta'ala for help in even worshipping him, This is a supreme manifestation of a person's slavehood in front of the Lord. It's hard enough to ask for your needs. If it was easy, everybody would have done it. But in asking for help for Allah's worship and Allah's praise, which sadly many people actually, even when they do it, they act like they're doing Allah Ta'ala a favor. They say, I've been making dua for so long and my du'as haven't been answered. I've been worshipping Allah for so long. This is an ummah, we have this collective problem. Right? The whole shikwa, jawab, shikwa. Why is it, Ya Allah, we're the ones who say La ilaha illallah, and like, why are we the ones who are downtrodden? It's like, what, do you want a gold medal? Like, what do you want? Pat yourself on the back? You know, what do you want out of all of this? As if you're saying to Allah Ta'ala, like, I did my part of the bargain. It's all one-sided. There's no, we're not doing anything back for him. And this is what? To ask Allah Ta'ala, to make dua to Allah Ta'ala to help you to remember him and to help you to be thankful to him and to help you to worship him in the way that he deserves to be worshipped, which is that is you worship him as if you see him, and if not, then to know that he sees you. It's a supreme manifestation of slavehood. Other people are not even familiar with this manifestation of slavehood. The idea didn't occur to them except for they learned it from us, for someone who learned it from us, and they just copied it afterward. Otherwise, if you were even to look at, you know, the deen of other people, look at the Christians, one of the greatest proofs, open and shut proofs that the person who was crucified was not Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, is that this is the one sentence in the entire Bible that's still untranslated out of Aramaic, even though the oldest copies they have of the Bible are in Greek, which is a language that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam never even spoke and did not understand through any normal means at any rate. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, why have you forsaken me? And they say that this is even Christ doesn't have this much slavehood that he put in front of Allah, that the question should come up as if he's owed something else other than this. So why have you forsaken me? Limada sabachthani? Why did you leave me behind? Obviously, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam wouldn't have said that. So it's a weird, like, little Easter egg that they carry around with them as a proof against them on the Day of Judgment. It's not something that you can easily explain or readily explain even in this world. But, that's what the other adyan, that's what their gold standard is for worship. You do something and then I get something. We say there's Allah gives from his fadl, from his generosity. We owe everything, we're owed nothing. So the person who thinks of it that way, they think of also then the obedience as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhikr and the shukr and the husni ibadatik. And so this is the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, who he loved and who he declared was a'lamukum bil halali wal haram. He was the faqih, he was the one who was the most learned of people of what is halal and what is haram. And this is his wasiyah to him. And through this Mubarak chain, this is the wasiyah I received from my mashayikh. And this is also then the wasiyah I give to you as well, those who are physically present and those who are listening as well. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا تشهد أحدكم فليستعذ بالله من أربع يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة من شر فتنة المسيح الدجال رواه مسلم. Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when one of you makes tashahud, let him seek refuge in Allah from four things in their tashahud. And this is also, these things are mentioned by Ibn Abi Zayd in his dua for the end of the prayer. The person should say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the torment of hellfire, and from the torment of the grave, and from the torments and difficulties and tribulations of life and of death, and from the evil of the torment of the false Messiah, of the Dajjal. Inshallah, there's so much to say about that as well, especially that last piece, that last part that's mentioned about the Masih al-Dajjal. I recommend anyone who hasn't been able to do so to go onto the SoundCloud and listen to the recording with regards to the descent of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam before the end of time, and the Dajjal as well. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام إلى الصلاة يكون من آخر ما يقول بين التشهد والتسليم اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أسرفت وما أنت أعلم به مني أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت رواه مسلم. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would, when he would stand to pray, from the last things that he would say between having finished the tashahud and between saying salam in the salat, he would say, "Oh Allah, forgive me that thing which I put forward," meaning my misdeeds. Obviously the Prophet ﷺ has no misdeeds, but those things in his context, it means something. In our context, it means sins and misdeeds. In his context, it means those things that he wishes he could have done better, that he did, but he didn't do them in the way that he felt he should have. And none of the things that he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are sins. وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ, and that thing that I withheld, that thing that I didn't do that I wish I would have done. And in our context, this is what the things that best fit this are, the sins, those sins of omission, the times we should have prayed that we didn't pray, we should have spoke up that we didn't speak up, the times that we should have done something when we held back. Oh Allah, forgive me for the thing that I put forth that I shouldn't have, and the thing that I withheld that I shouldn't have, and that thing that I did in secret that I shouldn't have, and that thing that I did in public that I shouldn't have, and the israf, that wastage in the things that I in my affair, and that thing that you have more knowledge of than me, that all of these things I mentioned, there are other things that you have more knowledge of than me about my own sins, forgive that as well. You're the one who puts things forward, and you're the one who withdraws things to the back, and there's no God except for you. Rahu Muslim. And so something also from this wording also is there in Ibn Abi Zayd in the litany of du'a that he gives wasiyah for a person to read at the end of the prayer. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول في ركوعه وسجوده سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي متفق عليه. سيد عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها narrates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say plentifully in his ruku' and in his sujood, transcendent are you, O Allah, our Lord, and by your praise, O Allah, forgive me. And so this is, I think, because a lot of us learn how to pray when we're kids, and a lot of us who don't learn how to pray when we're kids, we learn when we're grown up, learn from people who also learn how to pray when they're kids. And so the thing is, what, in ruku say this three times, and then in sajda say this three times, which is fine. The thing that you were taught to say three times in ruku and sajda is probably valid, and so, unless someone told you, like, you know, say abracadabra or what. No, but like, you know, subhanahu rabbi al-azim, subhanahu rabbi al-a'la. The reality, the haqiqah is what, is that there's nothing in particular prescribed to say while you're in ruku or in sajda. In ruku and sajda, you're not supposed to read the Qur'an. In ruku, in general, you don't make dua. You make it in sajda, but you praise Allah Ta'ala in both of them, and you glorify Allah Ta'ala in both of them, and you make dua in the sajda, unlike in the ruku. And so there are a number of different things that are narrated from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one wonders, well, why is it that, like, every Muslim kid, you know, in Maktab is taught, you know, to say Subhan Rabbi Al-Azim in the ruku and Subhan Rabbi Al-A'la in the sajda? It's because it's narrated that when the ayah Subbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la was read, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is narrated from him that he said, "Ij'aluhu fi sujudikum," place it in your sajda. I mean, say this. This is a good thing to say in your sajda. Subbih Isma Rabbika Al-Azim. That, you know, what's the khawatima, the khatima of Surah Al-Waqi'a and Surah Al-Haqa, and he's reported to have said, "Ij'aluhu fi ruku'ikum," place this in your ruku'. But there are many things, if you read the athar, there are many things that the Prophet ﷺ used to say in the sajda and the ruku, and there's also many things you can say that are not narrated from him, but you learn from what the types of things that he said, what you can say as well. And obviously the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the greatest and the best. But a person learns how to worship the Lord Jalla wa Ala from the one who came and taught us, from the one who was sent to teach us what those things are. So wa anha يعني سيدة عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول في ركوعه وسجوده سبوح قدوس رب الملائكة والروح رواه مسلم. That Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say in his ruku' and in his sajda, subbuhun quddusun, both of them are the sighatul mubalagha, that the one who is emphatically above any blemish, transcendent above any blemish, quddus, the most emphatically holy and sacred, which again means set aside, unlike the creation, transcendent above the creation, free of any blemish or any shortcoming. Rabbul Malaikati wal Ruh, the Lord of the angels and of the spirits. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala is the Lord of all things, but the mention of the angels and spirits is in the context of doing the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala and the taqdis of Allah Ta'ala, that the most holy and most pure from the taint of physicality, from the taint of carnality, are what? The angels and the spirits. That this is the what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say. Murabit al-Hajj rahimahullahu ta'ala would say this in his sajda to the point we could hear it. He's the one that I saw, you know, saying this thing in the salat. Subbuh, Quddus, Rabbul Malaikati wal Ruh. The only other person you'll hear saying this, most people, is perhaps, Green Party Desis between every four rak'ahs of the Taraweeh. So they'll say, Subbuh, Quddus, Rabbuna, Rabbul Malaikati wal Ruh. But this is a tasbih, it's narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the Red Party has an objection that you guys are doing bid'ah, maybe you are, but this one thing is not a bid'ah. This one thing is baqa, it's solid. Someone asked, actually, Mufti Palanpuri one time, the former Sadr Mudaris of Deoband, if it's a sunnah to say this between four rak'ahs of Taraweeh. He said, it's not a sunnah, but it's a very nice thing to say. So amanatan, he says that, he's the one who taught Bukhari for God knows how many decades, and knew it inside out. And so he's like, right, look, you know, I don't see that it's transmitted in that munasabah, in that occasion, that it's transmitted from the aslaf, that this is something to say. But at the same time, it's a wonderful thing to say, and there's nothing wrong with saying it. Just amanat that he was saying that it's not a sunnah at that point. But it is a sunnah in your ruku and in your sajda. And it's a beautiful thing to say, mashallah. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فأما الركوع فعظموا فيه الرب وأما السجود فاجتهدوا في الدعاء فيه فقمن أن يستجاب لكم فيه. So he says that Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه it's narrated that he said as for the ruku', that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as for the ruku', magnify in it the Lord. Magnify meaning azim, say talk about his azama, subhanu rabbil azim, right? Talk about, magnify in it the Lord. And as for the sujood, then exert yourself in making dua at that time. Why? Because فَقَمِنٌ يَعْنِي فَحَقِيقٌ, that it is to be rightfully expected, or expected by right, that the dua that's being made at the time of sajda will be answered. Fun true story. I heard from Sheikh Hashim. Sheikh Hashim was in town the week I was gone. Otherwise, I would have brought him here. even if against his own will. He actually said this. He said this, that there was when he was, I think, in like somewhere in the East Coast, that there was a junkie that came in, random came into their, like, they called it the masjid. It was Musalla. It wasn't a masjid, because there was not that many Muslims anywhere at the time that he knew of, or that he was connected with at any rate. He said that there was a junkie walked off the street and wanted to take Shahada. And they're like, sure, but like, what, how did you, like, why, what, who, what, how did this happen? He said that he was addicted to narcotics so badly. He stole from his loved ones, his wife left him, his kids cut themselves off, lost his job, lost this, nobody knew him anymore. He said that he was in such a bad place, and he tried quitting, and he would relapse, and he just couldn't do anything. He was completely, like, at his wit's end. And he said that he saw a picture of, like, a Muslim praying somewhere, like at a library or something like that, of someone making sajda. And he said the thought occurred to him, man, if God's going to listen to anybody, he's definitely going to be listening to this guy. You see his face on the floor and everything. So he went home and made sajda for the whole night, and just prayed that, like, this thing, like, just help me from this thing. And in the morning, like, you know, whatever made sense to him, to kind of figure out, like, you know, where these people are and, like, connect with them or whatever, join their program or whatever. And you know, that's a big deal. You know, those types of thoughts people don't have on their own. Allah outputs those types of thoughts in people's hearts, and they're undoubtedly, you know, this is the nizam of Allah Ta'ala, of His fadl in the creation, that He puts these things there to help people, sometimes supernaturally. When there's nobody, وَالَّذِي يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ, that he's the one who answers the one who's, like, raw, like, depraved with need when he calls upon him. And so this is what the Prophet ﷺ was saying. He said, وَفَا قَمِنٌ يَعْنِي حَقِيقٌ أَنْ يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ فِيهِ, that It is like to be expected by right, that the dua that you make when you're in sajda, that it should be answered. It's kind of cool. Makes you kind of want to make sajda and make dua, right? Oh, mashallah. Right? Like, you know, like, you're like, oh, namaz, that's, like, boring. Okay, I'm done. I already prayed. Or, like, I'll pray after the class. But now you're like, okay, like, that's cool. Like, I have stuff I want to ask for too, mashallah. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربه وهو ساجد فأكثر الدعاء رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates another narration similar to the first one in its import and its meaning, that the closest a slave is to his Lord is when he is in prostration, when he's in sajda. So don't miss out on the opportunity at that time to ask for Allah, to call upon Allah Ta'ala and ask for things from Him much, greatly. وعنه يعني أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول في سجوده اللهم اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي كله دقه وجله أوله وآخره علانيته وسره رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم would say in his sujood, O Allah, forgive me my sin, all of it, and forgive me my sin, all of it, the minute sins and the great sins, the first sins and the last sins, those that were done in public and those that were done in private. Ameen. And all of us are in need of the mercy of the Lord. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had no sins at all, taught us these du'as, but, you know, he taught them to us. Allah Ta'ala in every moment increases and augments his rank higher and higher, because we, the ones who need the forgiveness, wouldn't have known how to obtain it if it wasn't for him teaching us. So him saying it wasn't in vain. It augments his rank in every moment, because this is the air that we breathe with our ruh, not with our not with our physical lungs, but with our ruh, and it sustains and it keeps it alive. All of us need it. All of us need it. It's good. Learn the du'as, inshallah. You're not perfect. A cursory survey of options will reveal that killing yourself is not going to help. So we may as well learn these du'as and keep asking for them. Allah ta'ala forgive us. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت اقتديت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة فتحسست فإذا هو راكع أو ساجد يقول سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت وفي رواية فوقعت يدي على بطن قدميه وهو في المسجد وهما منصوبتان وهو يقول اللهم إني أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك أعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. رواه مسلم. سيدة عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها narrates that I followed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one night and I felt when he was in ruku or in sajda that he was saying Subhanaka, glorious and transcendent are you above blemish, wa bihamdika, and to you is praise. There is no God except for you. La ilaha illa ant. And in a narration, my hand fell upon the underside of his feet, of his Mubarak feet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was in the masjid. Which means that because the rooms were all connected, so either he was on the masjid side, or it means that he was in sajda. And his two Mubarak feet were posted up, meaning they're upright, like they are in sajda. And this also indicates to you how big the dwelling space was. And he was saying at that time, O Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure from your anger and in your forgiveness from your punishment. And I seek refuge in you from you. I am not able to encompass your praise. Rather, you are the only one. Can only be described by the way that you praised yourself. You're the only one who's able to encompass your own praise. This expression right here, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik wa bi mu'afatika min uqubatik wa a'udhu bika minka la uhsi thana'an 'alayka anta kama athnayta 'ala nafsik. This is one of the most beautiful expressions of the tawheed of Allah Ta'ala uttered in human language ever. Again, nobody ever said things like this before, that I seek refuge in you from you. The idea is that you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind all things, that all things come from Him and go to Him. Rather, most people will say, oh, you know, there's a lion chasing me. Allah asking for help and not getting chased down by the lion. Oh Allah, this problem is causing problems. You help me against that problem. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that the entire loop, what the whole thing is, everything controlling all of it was Allah ta'ala. It's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do. It's good. I can talk about, mashallah, how wonderful the Tawheed is. The next time something happens to me, I'll be like, Allah, this guy spoke him out of, you know, like, out of the sky, right? Why? It's hard. It's hard to do. Admittedly, as a person who struggles with it myself, it's hard to do. And what happens is people say stuff like this, they're fakers, many of them, not all of them. But imagine what the maqam of that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, that even if it wasn't for him, the fakers wouldn't even know how to fake. He's the one who set the madar, the standard in all of these things. That those who reached anywhere in which these things start to become manifest and real to them, they reach there because of their following the path of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fakers only know how to fake because they saw it from him. Otherwise, it wouldn't occur to anyone to say any of these things ever. When Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala kunna inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqala أيعجز أحدكم أن يكسب في كل يوم ألف حسنة؟ فسأله سائل من جلسائه كيف يكسب ألف حسنة؟ قال يسبح 100 تسبيحة فيكتب له 1000 حسنة أو يحط عنه 1000 خطيئة. رواه مسلم. قال الحميدي كذا هو في كتاب مسلم أو يحط. قال البرقاني رواه شعبة وأبو عوانة ويحيى القطان عن موسى الذي رواه مسلم من جهته فقالوا ويحط بغير ألف. سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that we were with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, when he said, is one of you overwhelmed or unable to earn in every day 1,000 good deeds? So a man from those who were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, how can a person earn 1,000 good deeds? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let him make the tasbih of Allah ta'ala 100 tasbihat, 100 times, and he will earn 1,000 good deeds, or he will have cast off from his burden 1,000 sins. And then there's a discussion afterward, is it or and? Is it either you'll get the 1,000 good deeds and get 1,000 sins unloaded, or is it you get 1,000 good deeds and 1,000 sins are unloaded? But both of these narrations come. And it's mentioned that there are also narrations in which it's mentioned as both. So this is the tasbih, right? Our friends, you know, sometimes they say carrying the tasbih is like a bid'ah, right? They say carrying the tasbih is a reprehensible innovation. Yes, in the sense that the Prophet ﷺ didn't used to carry a sibha around with him. You can say that, but the aslaf in general, by the time of Al-Hasan al-Basri, you know, he was the one who asked the same question, and he said, look, you know, it's become already recognized amongst the people of the ummah as a sign, one of shi'ara of righteousness amongst people. They obviously didn't have a problem with it. So if you're going to say, you know, like you're a bad Muslim because you don't carry tasbih around with you, that's a problem. But the fact that a person should carry it, it also shouldn't be a problem. And this is also something for a person to think about, that if it's a sunnah, it's, you know, narrated in Muslim, that a person should say tasbih 100 times. One might understand why it is that a righteous person would carry a string with like 100 counters in it, given that we've already gone through several different awrad that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed as saying things 100 times. And so that's good. It's good. It reminds you of doing it. If it becomes a fashion, then that part's bad. Don't do that part. If someone wants to count, they're like, well, what if I like counting on my hand? They count on your hand. Alhamdulillah. وعن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يصبح على كل سلامة من أحدكم صدقة فكل تسبيحة صدقة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة والنهي عن المنكر صدقة ويجزئ من ذلك ركعتان يركعهما في الضحى. رواه مسلم. سيدنا أبو ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه الغفاري said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every day there are for every limb that a person has an obligation to give charity, to give sadaqah. And every time a person says tasbih, it counts as a charity. And every time a person says tahmid, alhamdulillah, it counts as a charity. And every time a person says tahleel, la ilaha illallah, it's a sadaqah. And every time a person says takbir, Allahu Akbar, it's a sadaqah. And commanding to that which is right is a sadaqah. And forbidding evil is a sadaqah. And what will suffice a person from the entire count, that if they do it, the entire count is sufficed, is that a person should pray two raka'ahs at the time of duha, at the time after the sun lifts off the horizon, until the time of high noon. And, you know, there's a lot of hikmah in it, because the prayer is something that engages the entire body and has all of these things mixed into it. Someone says, how is there amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar? And no one will see that a person is praying at that time, except for it's also an enjoinment to prayer. And even if a person isn't seen, at least that person is absent from the lahu of other people at that time, a time that people are... people are engrossed with thoughts with regards to their dunya. وعن أم المؤمنين جويرية بنت الحارث رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج من عندها بكرة حين صلى الصبح وهي في مسجدها ثم رجع بعد أن أضحى وهي جالسة فقال ما زلت على الحال التي فارقتك عليها قالت نعم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد قلت بعدك أربع كلمات ثلاث مرات لو وزنت بما قلت منذ اليوم لوزنتهن سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته رواه مسلم وفي رواية له سبحان الله عدد خلقه سبحان الله رضا نفسه سبحان الله زنة عرشه سبحان الله مداد كلماته وفي رواية الترمذي ألا أعلمك وأعلمك كلمات تقولينها سبحانك سبحان الله عدد خلقه سبحان الله عدد خلقه سبحان الله عدد خلقه سبحان الله رضا نفسه سبحان الله رضا نفسه سبحان الله رضا نفسه سبحان الله زنة عرشه سبحان الله زنة عرشه سبحان الله زنة عرشه سبحان الله مداد كلماته سبحان الله مداد كلماته سبحان الله مداد كلماته سيدة أم المؤمنين جويرية ابنة الحارث رضي الله تعالى عنها. It's narrated from her that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left from her one morning when she was when he went to go pray the subh prayer, the fajr prayer, while she was sitting in her place of prayer. When he returned after the sun had risen, she was still sitting in that same place, and so he asked her sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you remained in the same condition that I left you in? And she said, yes. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, I have said four things after I left you. Three times. If those words were to be weighed against all the things that you were saying since I left you, it would have outweighed them. And what are those four words or four expressions? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi. Transcendent is Allah Ta'ala, and to Him is above blemish, and to His is praise the number of His creation. As much, and creation is mind-boggling in its number. So that I say subhanallahi bihamdihi, the number of things that are in creation. And I say it the number of his, you know, the pleasure of his self and the weight of his throne, which is huge given that the throne is physically larger and more magnificent than all the rest of the creation is put together. And I say glory is Allah Ta'ala, but glory to Allah Ta'ala, transcendent above blemish, and to Him is praise, as much as the ink needed to write His words. And the kalimat of Allah Ta'ala, the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, is from His own creation. So it's in itself, it's an expression of infinity. It's not from his own creation, it's from his own sifat, I apologize, from his own attributes, that it's not from his creation, it's from his attributes, and so it's therefore it's infinite. And so this is also should be part of a person's word of things that they say in the day. In a different narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the words and the expression separately. Subhanallah adada khalqihi, subhanallah rida nafsihi, subhanallah zinata arshihi, subhanallah midada kalimati. And in the narration of Tirmidhi, he then says all of them in order one after the other, but he says them all three times. Subhanallah adada khalqihi, subhanallah adada khalqihi, subhanallah adada khalqihi, subhanallah rida nafsihi, subhanallah rida nafsihi, subhanallah rida nafsihi, subhanallah zinata arshihi, subhanallah zinata arshihi, subhanallah zinata arshihi, subhanallah midada kalimatihi, subhanallah midada kalimatihi, subhanallah midada kalimatihi. وعن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مثل الذي يذكر ربه والذي لا يذكره مثل الحي والميت. رواه البخاري ورواه مسلم فقال مثل البيت الذي يذكر فيه يذكر الله فيه والبيت الذي لا يذكر الله فيه مثل الحي والميت. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it's narrated from him, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said that the likeness of the person who remembers Allah ta'ala, or who praises Allah ta'ala, his Lord, and the one who doesn't praise him, is like the difference between the living and the dead. You say, well, do you have to, you know, talk about your religion all the time? Do you have to talk about deen all the time? You have to remember Allah ta'ala all the time? You know, like... MashaAllah, my wife's lovely, but sometimes a hater relative, hater and hater at the same time, relative who, you know, when she called like a stada from her madrasa to give a bayan at like some party before the wedding, and she like whispers to my mom, like, do these people have to like ruin everything? And I said, like, we're at a wedding, not a janazah, right? It's ironic. It's a wedding, not a janazah. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Is the likeness of the person who remembers his Lord, and the one who doesn't remember him is like the living and the dead, the likeness of the living and the dead. And in the narration of a Muslim is what? The likeness of a house in which Allah is remembered versus a house in which Allah ta'ala is not remembered. It's like the living and the like the grave versus a living house versus a grave. How ironic. Allah give all of us hidayah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful person. Probably more righteous person than me, alhamdulillah, mashallah. But I'm just saying that was kind of a, you know, in the list of like all-time dumb things to say. And Allah forgive us all for. I have like 3 or 4 entries on the top 10 list. So, alhamdulillah, you know, not trying to judge nobody, you know. But it's nobody knows any better until they learn. Allah subhanahu wa taala give us all the style. It's good. Go home and like make dhikr in the house a little bit. It's okay. It's good. It'll bring barakah into the house. It will make a house worth living in, rather than something that people that remember in the next world and cast themselves and their loved ones out over. Which is, nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to be in that situation. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يقول الله تعالى أنا عند ظني عبدي بي وأنا معه إذا ذكرني فإن ذكرني في نفسي في نفسه عفوا ذكرته في نفسي وإن ذكرني في ملأ ذكرته في ملأ خير منهم متفق عليه. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه, he narrates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the Lord Most High said, I am as my slave thinks of me. Obviously there's more to it, but that's a big deal, right? I am as my slave thinks of me. And in another narration that goes, that he'll say those words and he'll say, let my slave think of me whatever he wishes. So if you think Allah Ta'ala is out to get you, then maybe he is, you know. And if you think of Allah Ta'ala as being merciful, Allah Ta'ala being compassionate, even if some people don't like that word, if people think of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala as being, you know, gentle with the person, then that's what's going on. I mean, think of it this way. Perhaps the wrong crowd to bring it up with, except for maybe I think Abdul Hamid will know what I'm talking about. Okay? Imagine you're in love with a woman, she's in love with you. Okay? And then all of a sudden one day, all she's talking about, oh, you don't really love me, you don't really love me, you don't really love me. It's like, what are you talking? And then you're like, oh my God, I bought you this gift and I spent all the time with you and I said these nice things to you and you wanted like, you know, a cheeseburger and fries and I went and got it for you. No, you don't really, it's just paranoid that you somehow or another, like, you know, and you're not going to stay with me, you're going to leave and you're going to just, as a, mashallah, a dedicated alpha male, okay? Would this make you happy, like with this situation, or would it annoy the living smack out of you? It would annoy you, right? Yes, ma'am.
You know I'm here.
It
would annoy the smack out of him.
would annoy the smack out of him. I know you're here, and I know you're not the type of person who would do that, and I also know that you're armed, and that this barrier is not thick enough to stop a bullet. We didn't get the plexiglass yet, you know? We have some, you know, we have a very humble set up over here. We haven't bought the plexiglass bulletproof thing yet, right? So, trust me, I thought about it, right? You're not the one to do it, and I ain't the one to get capped. It wouldn't be endearing, would it, right? The Lord gives so much to us, so much, and you know what? A person's like, no, but I'm so bad, and I committed so. Allah Ta'ala already in advance, like, I just say, ask for forgiveness, and I'll forgive you. Don't ask, I'm going to forgive you anyway. So that's not good. It's not a nice way of being with the Lord to be like, oh, you know, I'm going to go to hell for sure, and I'm this, and I'm that, and, you know, Allah's out to get me, and this. Even the thing that you think is a test and you think is punishment, there's like a thousand mercies in it, and you're not able to see it because you're so obsessed with yourself. And again, it doesn't mean that, like, you know, like sin is okay or that, like, you know, whatever. But the point is that what? That I am as my slave thinks of me. A person should be like, okay, you know, I may have let myself down, but Allah is never going to let me down. You know, that itself in it is Tawheed right there. Just to think about that, that's why you already accepted inside of that thought, the premise of that thought even being, you know, uttered in the secret of a man's heart, already accepts that there's Allah is God and there's no God except for Him. You know, you're not thinking about, like, you know, Krishna and, like, you know, stuff in there at that point, you know? Except for maybe as a person who, like, historical figure or whatever. But I'm saying you're not thinking about no, like, pantheon at that Zeus and, like, Marvel characters and DC characters. You're not thinking about any of that stuff at that point, right? That person is thinking that, like, I might have let myself down so many, but Allah Ta'ala will never let me down. Then that's like, okay, yeah, like, you know, He did good by you and you're, like, appreciating it. It's a good sign. Anyhow, Allah Ta'ala said, and there's so many things, like, okay, if I say anything about psychology, all the clinical psychology people are going to be like, oh, you're not qualified to talk about that because it's not your training. Okay, yeah, I get it. I'm not, but everybody, listen, I'm not qualified to talk about clinical psychology. So if you guys have episodes where you have, like, you know, breakfast with the Hamburglar on the moon and things like that, please go see, like, a psychiatrist. Don't, you know, I'm not going to prescribe you anything. I'm go. But for the rest of us who have, like, a psyche that we have to deal with within a normal set of parameters, right? This is so much of a person's burdens will be relieved. You know, the strain that pushes a person over the edge of insanity, it would be relieved by just remembering that okay, I let myself down, but Allah Ta'ala is not going to let me down. And that's one of the reasons that you know, the modern life is so you know, just horrible for people's mental health, is because of that. Because they take it all on themselves and they never take time to remind themselves to make the dhikr of Allah. Did they ever make the dhikr of Allah in your place of work or in your university you went to? No, absolutely not, right? That's why people, you know, have to have hotlines in order to, like, convince themselves not to, like, I don't know, slit their own wrist or something like that, right? Which is, a normal person wouldn't have that thought if they're in a normal circumstance. Something's gone really, really, really wrong until you get to that point. Because we have failed states in the world, you know, that have no government, no running water, no garbage, no toilets, none of that stuff. Like, literally, people are living a very bare bones existence where every hope or dream a person ever had, you know, was kind of a joke to even think about. And the one thing that they thought might work out for them was crushed in front of their eyes, and everybody they knew laughed at them. And they're not only still mentally put together, they're happy. Why? Because, you know, the adhan is there 5 times a day, and even if those people are not going to win the Imam Ghazali Award for, like, excellence and, like philosophical, intellectual contribution to Islamic civilization, but still this much is there, you know, around them, that they know that, you know, the Lord is there, and like Allah Ta'ala is merciful, and that, you know, things are going to be all right. A day will come, everything will be all right. So he says, Allah Most High said, I am as my slave thinks of me, and I am with him when he remembers me. You make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is with you. So, oh, but I'm such a big sinner. Okay, you know, if you didn't think you were a big sinner, you'd be even bigger sinner. So, welcome to the club. You become a Sufi. You know, like, you become a righteous person. You become righteous. You become pious. You know, welcome to the club. In that moment, you made it. You made it. We made it. We made it. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Congratulations, everybody. Like, mashallah, someone literally brought a box of donuts to the Ribat today. Because what? Because we made it. Someone's like, well, that's not a big deal. That didn't seem very hard. Well, guess what? There's so many people not making it. So, alhamdulillah. He says that I am with my slave while he's remembering me. And if you ever fall off the boat, just make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala again, and it's all forgive. You're back. You're back on track. Not everyone's equal. There's some people who have been ahead and doing what they need to be doing for a long time now. But, you know, at any rate, we're on the other side of the line. Now we have another journey within that place, but we've made it there. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. That I'm with my slave while he's remembering me and while he's praising me. And if he praises me inside of himself, I praise him inside of myself. If he praises me amongst others, then I also praise him amongst others that are better than the ones that he praises me amongst them. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبق المفردون قالوا وما المفردون يا رسول الله قال الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات روية والمفردون بتشديد الراء وتخفيفها والمشهور الذي قاله الجمهور التشديد. So it's going to be المفردون المفردون. Both of them are narrated. Yeah. And it says that the majority of the narrators narrate it with a tashdeed, with the shadda, mufarrid instead of mufrid. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu also narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the mufarridun have won the race. Here's the outstripped all the others. Mufarrid means what? Fard with a dal, not with a dad, like fard. Is it fard or is it just a sunnah? No. Fard with a dal means like one. And mufarrid are the ones who have like singular, that have singular focus. Here the tafrid that's being mentioned is what? Ibn Alan mentions that the ones who are singularly focused on the pleasure of the Lord. Ila marzatil mawla. والدرجات العلا والشهود والشهود الأكملي والحال الأفضلي. Those people who have a singular focus on the pleasure of the Lord and on the highest of ranks with him, and the perfect witnessing of him, and the most virtuous of states with him. So those people, the people who did that, they won the race. They outstripped everybody else. And the companions radiallahu anhum said, who are the mufarridun, O Messenger of Allah? He says, قَالَ ذَاكِرُونَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Right, the ones that are mentioned in the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, right? The men and women who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plentifully. Dhikr is not just mentioned in one place as dhikr being a virtue in kathra. ذَاكِرُونَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. That more than one place, dhikr is mentioned with what? With the qualifier of being done with plentifulness. That it's not just, you just said it once and you move on. Someone's like, well, why do I have to say it 100,000 times? Why do I have to say it 100 times or 1,000 times? I could say it once. Then say it once. First of all, people don't say it once anymore anyway, you know? They don't. No, Ustadji Maulana Hassan, through whom I narrate the musalsal. I literally heard this in a bayan, because I know that I've met the mashayikh, and I sat in the majlis of the mashayikh that he sat with some exception. With the exception of Mawlana Musa Khan, all of his mashayikh after that came and left, I sat in their majalis. Mawlana Musa rahimahullah ta'ala, my classmates had met him, but he passed away before I got to Jamia Madaniya. And they said that they dug his grave. He's buried next to Mawlana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahimahullah ta'ala, and Mawlana Sayyid Hamid Mian, the Bani of the Jamia Madaniya and Lahore. The three of them are buried in the same place in the Miani Sahib graveyard. They said that when they buried they opened the grave, that even before they placed it in, there was perfume coming from the grave, and some students kept the dirt of his grave. I smelled it. They met him before, Mawlana Musa Khan. Amazing. He wrote like a hashiya on the Tafsir al-Baydawi, which most people can't even read. He wrote like a two-volume work on the Lafz al-Jalala, which is, I don't know if anyone ever did that in the history of Islam. That what is the word, a two-volume work about the word Allah. So many things. I may have mentioned some of the other books and, Ash'ar and things like that in Dars from before. So, Ustaji, I saw, I know when people take bay'ah, they come and take bay'ah, they take the tariq from him. The first word that they would give, Ustaji, now I hear the bayan from like people that come to take bay'ah. He'll be like, you should be saying this many times, this that many times, and this the other one this many times. But I know people are busy and nobody says they're weird anyway. So nowadays. Because they remember when people used to take those things seriously, right? We read the old books, people used to make a lot of dhikr. Even the dhikr we make over here, this is something like, I think, like less than 1/7 of the weird of La ilaha illallah, Allah, Allah that we say over here. And that's like part of like a larger weird that people used to say in the old days. And that's for the normal people. The hafaz, their weird is longer. The ulama, their weird is longer. The people who are professionally engaged, in the work of deen, their weird is longer. The tablighis, their weird is supposed to be longer, and they don't say it anymore. Illa man rahima rabbuhum. The students of knowledge, their weird is supposed to be longer. They don't say it anymore. So he says, you know what? No one even says the normal one anymore. So how about this? The thing that used to say 100 times, say them like you say it 10 times. He goes, look, I even know the person maybe is busy. He goes, I'll give you even a discount if you can't do it. At least say it once. Say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah once. Say Astaghfirullah, Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi once. Say the salat and salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Say it once. He goes, if you come to me and say that that's too much, I don't know what to tell you. There are some people, if you told them to say Allah and they said it's too much, and you just said say the alif, they're still not going to say the alif. I'm not beating down on other people. Like, I'm not the one who's like making so much dhikr and stuff like that or whatever, but it's just one of those things you realize at some point or another it's tawfiq from Allah Ta'ala that you even get these things. You gotta try hard, and the way you get the tawfiq, it's like a mystery, it's intertwined. If you don't want it, you're not gonna get it. You need to want, but even to want it is also, you're getting something, so it's one of those things you kind of gotta focus. So the person who's mufarrid, that has a singular focus, this is what they want. Those are the people who are going to make it. And who are those people? They're the ones who make the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala plentifully. Dhakirin Allah kathiran wa dhakirat. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allah Ta'ala make us from amongst them. Sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.